Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Hi, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 274. Ryan has made a promise that I'm not sure he's going to be able to keep. He says we need to keep this short, Matt. I do have to leave early. Similarly, so does Ryan. So we've talked about an hour episode being really good. I can't see it happening, but anyway, how you doing, gentlemen?
After you, I know.
Matt is apparently either a pirate or a colonial settler, which seems really offensive from Matt.
Clearly the pirate.
It's either Captain Pugwash or Master Bates. I'm not sure which one of those characters it is.
Master Bates with a myth.
I know it was.
Anyway, I put a bet out on anything about that. Happier now?
What is happening? What is happening? Oh, God damn it.
Oh, for God's sake. I was going to share this with you, Ryan, and not include Matt. I actually thought that what we should do is we should have a sweepstake. Everyone who participates in FanCop moments, we should give them a time, like 0 to 2 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, 20 to 40, get increasingly longer. And we'll put it, draw names, we'll put a name next to it. And when does Matt first mention CXW? He just put his cap on. Like, the first one would have to be ridiculously short because it normally comes in fair. But after that, if he doesn't talk about it, I seriously thought about that. I thought that would be a fun way for our listeners to interact to see if they would win. When does Matt mention CXW first on the show?
I haven't mentioned it once.
You put the cap on. You knew exactly what you would
do. We could rotate through it and have different things, and two people know what the thing is and the third person doesn't. So
bingo.
One week it could be, you know, how long does it take Matt to bring up CXW? How long does it take Graham to bring up disc golf? How long does it take Ryan to bring up late 90s wrestling? It's not a bad idea. It's
the bingo card format again, isn't it?
Which is always good.
To answer your question, which is what I'm here for, it's been a good week. It's been a good week. I know I said last week I was going to give more information about the changes that are happening, but I can't yet.
Oh, you tease.
Legally, I can't. Okay, so I can't, but hopefully next week I can give you all the information. That
non-disclosure deal that you signed, or whatever things are called.
But one thing I am quite happy about is I did some more baking this week. I'm back in the kitchen baking. Made the most amazing lemon sponge.
Here's the thing, Matt. You can, you know, in honor of the holiday that's happening as this comes out, you can bake in any room. You can bake in the bedroom. You can bake in the living room. You can bake in the closet. I know you're out of the closet, and that's fine.
I came out of the closet a long time ago, brother.
See, that's a good one. How long does it take for me to make a gay joke to Matt? See, these are all great ideas. It's not really.
I can't see the shirt joke. Because I can see Ryan's.
It's a D&D joke, Graham. Don't worry.
I know the joke.
You're not the main picture, so I can't see.
You attempt to push the orc off the cliff. Roll a critical fail. Instead, you gently caress his back. He looks uncomfortable.
Show me one more time. Show me one more time.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, I got to stop speed reading. I thought it said back passage at one point.
Well, to be fair, depending on the DM.
Sure.
How is your week been, Graham? Busy?
I had forgot that I hadn't actually mentioned this to you. I said to you, I was like, oh, perhaps I didn't actually mention this. And you were like, nope, you didn't mention it. Yeah, I was in a car accident 2.5 weeks ago. I'm fine. My car was not. A lot of trouble. You know what it's like, insurance companies. Never easy. The guy didn't have accurate insurance details with him, and I've been kind of like, oh my God, here we go. Anyway, it all got resolved this week. They were like, State Farm said, yep, we got it. We'll take care of everything. So, I got a brand new car that I'm driving in right now. And already the fucking neighbors' kids have put a scratch on the fucking side of it with their scooters because they go between. I am fucking pissed. I woke up this morning.
Are you
liable
for that?
Gotta be. Probably. I'm like, you got to be fucking shitting me. Those kids are always going between cars on their scooters, on their bikes and stuff. And there was no scratch there when I picked it up. And there was a scratch there this morning. I am fucking livid about that. And, but anyway, I'm on the road to get my car fixed. But definite bad cop moment this morning. I was not a happy buddy.
I can relate about insurance side of things. I'm aware I don't drive currently. But bearing in mind, when we've gone to America before with mother-in-law, she thought out all the insurance and things for Chris. I had a thought out last time. Fucking what's the word they say in America? Sharks? Fucking sharks.
Mm-hmm.
300 bills they wanted for, and it wasn't for my health insurance. It was for Chris because of his insulin.
Mm-hmm.
We were only there for 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Fucking.
Yeah, they just need to put the mask on and the cloak on because it's clear there. Dick Turpin, really. Yep. Modern day Dick Turpins.
Yes, that's a good
one. With the emphasis on dicks.
Yes, yes.
See, I don't know. My insurance is nice and cheap because I'm a good driver.
Different kind of insurance.
I don't think he was talking about health insurance. He wasn't talking about car insurance.
You have to get health insurance when you come to the US?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
We have to pay for health insurance cover while we're in America, yeah.
Yes. Oh boy.
I pay about $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris, $300.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why my mom is struggling to come over and my stepdad's struggling to come over now. Because of their age and other conditions, it's prohibitively expensive. Yep. Ironically, it's cheaper for four people to go to England than it is for two people to come to America.
Never a true word spoken, my brother. Never a true word.
Should we move on to wrestling? We went off on way too many fucking tangents already. All right, good come on with Spring One.
Good! Bad!
No idea of the order, but I don't think you've been first in forever, Matt, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, seeing as you pissed all over what I wanted to talk about, my main good comment, I'm not going to talk about it.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, okay. because I wanted to talk to the XW, but I can't now. You pissed all over it.
I didn't piss all over it. You can talk about it.
I want to talk about it because 6 of the 7 matches for the card for the new next show, which is just over a month away already. It's
oh my god!
Yeah, June 1st. June 1st. Month and a week away, give or take. You know, I'm aware it's not exactly, but.
Your math skills aren't great.
I'm not used to doing shows this quickly, you know. I'm used to like having like 5-6 months between shows, but momentum in the indie show in the UK is really rough stretching up, which is great. 6 of the matches have been confirmed. The only one that's not been confirmed as a recording is Nina Samuels' opponent for Women's Championship. We've got Furio facing a mystery opponent. Don't know who that is. Interesting to see who it is. We've got a fatal four-way tag team match for the tag team titles. The UK Pitbulls defending against, insert name here, the British top team of Semtex and Newton. Newton, of course, who was at GCW Bloodsports, of course. And Roy Knight and RKJ of the Knight family. That's going to be an impressive one for sure. We've got a 6-way dance for a 12-month contract with CXW. Mm. Not going to fill all the names, but a couple of the regular attorneys are Sassy Bear Clarence, Sunset Skip, and former guest, the retro dude, Rudy Root, who makes it 9-for-9 with CXW, which would be brilliant. We've also got Shah Samuels, versus who was it? Charles Samuels versus, don't fail on me now, Matt. I've got so much fucking going through my head right now. And of course you changed the fucking page, but didn't you?
I'm gonna say you're allowed to take notes, you know that, right?
I did. Charles Samuels versus Kelly Six, the best of Brit ref, looking forward to that. But the main event, Leonardo Darwin defends the championship against the one kid, Johnny Storm. Mm. And against former NXT UK superstar Saxton Haxley.
Oh.
In CXW's first ever ladder match.
Oh!
Looking forward to this one.
Yeah, I bet.
Really looking forward to this one. Seeing Sony first, that's the thing about, we've mentioned before on the show, I mean, how much cool stuff you get to see on the indies and how much you don't, that you won't see at WWE, AEW, even TNA. Certainly not in New York, Japan, but particularly the amount of fan interaction you have during the matches. You get people often being like held for the fan to give them chops and like pull them onto the ring post and things. The fan interaction is fantastic. I know, I'm sure it is at all indie shows, but the crowd was so loud last time I could barely even hear referee say ring the bell at times. It was ridiculous. It was so vociferous. And already half the front row is gone already. And tickets have been on sale for a little bit, I grant you, but given that we're still like 6 to 8 weeks from the show starting, math is almost on point, I'm aware, Graham. There's still plenty of time. Door-to-door sales start on Monday, it'll go well. Braintree's a great wrestling town, to be fair. I'm looking forward to it.
I just realised I picked totally the wrong person to go first. If me and Ryan both have to leave early, you probably could have talked after we'd gone, but hey, it's all good. I've got exciting times at CXW. That sounds amazing already. Yeah, I know what you're excited. Ryan, any thoughts on your main Good Cop moment?
Yes, CXW is a promotion. Now, Graham, why don't you go? You know, I haven't gone last in a while. I make a fuss about it a lot. So why don't you go ahead?
All right. I'm going to be honest. It's not that it was slim pickings this week. Like, I enjoyed a lot of stuff on Raw, but it was like a lot of small things. I didn't just want to do a whole Raw. I didn't want to be Matt and mention like a million things in my main moment. So I decided to go with a show that I've been recording on Sling. And I did mention it a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to mention it again. Dark Side of the Ring. I got a couple of episodes I'm trying to catch up on right now. And I got to be honest, I can't remember which season it was, but I think it was either season 2 or season 3. And I'm like, this is going to die a death pretty quickly. Like, there's not going to be many more episodes that warrant an hour's worth of material. And I'm glad to say I was wrong. The one I talked about a couple of weeks ago was Harley Race. I think the ones with the big names, even if I don't know their background as much, I know that, oh, Harley Race is a big name. I know he's an older wrestler, but I know this is going to be good. But the one from 2 weeks ago that I'm currently listening to, I've still got about 15 minutes to watch. I'm really enjoying it. Very entertaining. You guys might know this person. Like I said, my knowledge is not great. Let me ask you then straight away. Then, knowledge on Crazy Chris Holt. Is that a name that's familiar to you guys?
I knew him by reputation. Okay. I did not know him, like, he's not someone I'd ever watched, but I'd always heard stories and those are actually my favorite episodes, because I'm like, I know of this person, mm-hmm. Let me find out more about them, especially because if Dark Side's doing an episode on them, you know it's going to be fucked up.
I agree. Matt?
I'll be honest, we don't get DSR here.
I didn't ask that.
So I don't always get a chance to catch the episode, is what I'm saying. But I have heard of the gentleman in question by reputation as well. But I don't know a great deal about him, no.
All right, so I think I'm going to go ahead and spoil it, because it's over 2 weeks old now anyway. So I think if you were going to watch it, you would have watched it by now. I just forgot I had it on Sling, to be honest. So it starts off with the cage match scenario. They do those little dramatizations, the recreations and that. Shows you the cage match, talks about what goes on in a cage match. And what they failed to mention was he decided to take drugs before he went in there. Some sort of mind-altering ones. I didn't write down what he took. I want to say it was LSD, but I'm not sure. And just as the match is about to start, he thinks that big spiders are climbing over the cage into the cage. So obviously there's a lot going on in a cage match anyway. Even more if you've got massive spiders coming into the ring to try and attack you. So Chris climbs over the cage, gets out into the cage. You would think, obviously, quite relieved to have escaped the spiders, right? No, he decides to start punching fans. So So he's going into the crowd, grabbing fans, punching them, and obviously it's not a very funny moment, but 50 years on from when it happened, kind of hilarious now, the things that did go on in that era. And people were trying to break bottles over his head to calm him down. Nah, didn't do anything at all, just carried on. The police arrived. Obviously, he was arrested for things like that. And one of the people who was mentioned on this episode was Bill Anderson. It was a rookie. It was his first match. He'd been announced that this was going to be his new tag team partner. He got maced in the eyes while he was trying to wait. What a hell of an introduction that your tag team partner is somebody who's out of his head on drugs, is punching members in the crowd, and you got to work with him. He also talked about how he met Janis Joplin, and he was friends with Janis Joplin. He wanted to be the male Janis Joplin. He always talked about dying young, but he wanted to embrace that persona. He was laughed at school for wanting to be a wrestler. He left town, decided to go and join a wrestling school, not realizing you have to pay for stuff like that. So he decided to prostitute himself out to pay for that as well. And this is before the first commercial. I was like, holy crap, there's a lot going on in this first episode. Ryan, I'm with you in with the similarities a little bit. Like, I didn't know that character at all, but sometimes those are the more fun episodes when everything you see is brand new and it's like, whoa. But also, if you do get those names, for me, Harley Race was, you probably know Harley Race inside out. For me, I knew that was a big name, but it was like, yes, I want to know more about this person. But yeah, my good cop moment in a nutshell is the fact that Dark Side of the Ring, 5 seasons in, is still putting episodes out there that are interesting to me, are still grabbing my attention. And I did not think that would happen. I generally didn't. I can't remember. I don't know if it was the Ric Flair episode on the plane. I think at some point we were like, this is just getting bad now at this point. But they're still providing the goods as far as I'm concerned. There was a lot more to that story, but we're on a time schedule today. So go watch the episode if you haven't already watched it. Well worth it.
Yeah. No, and it's fun. You know, last week's episode, I won't go into detail since you haven't watched it yet, is about Chris Adams. And I know Chris Adams because he did a stint in WCW in the late 90s. And I knew Chris Adams as a jobber in WCW. That's all I ever saw him as, because that's what I saw him as when I was watching wrestling, you know, but then learning so much about his career. And obviously, you know, like, I didn't know he had problems. I didn't know all of this stuff, because I saw him, he would come out in WCW television, he would lose to Scott Norton, and that would be it. But yeah, no, I love Dark Side of the Ring, and I'm very excited. This season is slim pickings, I feel, for really big names. I really feel like the only big names so far have been Buff Bagwell and Harley Race. But there is a Sandman episode coming out.
2 weeks time.
And that I am super excited about, because I love the episodes where the person is still alive, because then you get to hear their side of the story too. One of my favorite episodes they did was New Jack, because New Jack is unapologetically New Jack. He's like, yeah, I fucking stabbed him, I don't give a shit. And I'm just like, what the fuck, dude? And then they show footage of him stabbing a guy, and not like a dramatic reenactment. It's, well, this is just indie footage of him stabbing someone.
It's shocking, for sure. I've got to admit, I did a little swiping while Graham was going, was explaining what was happening. Something I can confirm, what was LSD, Graham, as well, for you.
You can confirm what, sorry?
It was LSD.
Oh, it was LSD.
Yeah. Really sad story, actually. Really sad story about the guy. As someone who's very happily openly gay himself, it's a very sad story hearing about what happened outside of things. And he died in a homeless shelter.
Oh, I haven't got to the end part yet. Spoiler. Oh,
I thought you'd watched it all. That's what
I said. I haven't finished it yet.
He literally said he has 15 minutes to go. Matt.
In my defense, Graham, it happened in 1985.
My good cop moment, I was really fucking enjoying it. Now there's no point in what.
Hey, no, Matt, just so you know, Kairi Sane is returning in Saudi. You fucking asshole.
Okay. In my defense, this happened 38 years ago.
It's
okay.
A long time. So what I had extra parts were the fact that his tag team partner was actually his gay partner as well. And the other one was he burned an American flag live on TV, and he didn't get just kicked out of the organization. The organization got banned from TV. They were like, you're done. you're not getting it. Times obviously change, but the things they genuinely tried to generate heel heat at certain things. But no, just I'm going to say some of the things that were controversial 50 years ago, as time moves on, it doesn't look anywhere near as controversial at all. But no, an interesting character for sure. Ryan, what you got for us?
Mine is far more simpler than all of this stuff. And why is it a good cop moment? Just because of how it was done. Chad Gable's heel turn on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenally done. We all saw it coming. I mean, if you didn't see that coming, you're about as blind as Anne Frank. Okay? To anyone who's seen Clerks knows that joke.
Oh, I do not.
Yeah, the joke is, no, that's Helen Keller. No, it's Anne Frank. She was deaf, dumb, and blind. No, mm-hmm. Helen Keller was deaf, dumb, and blind. Then who the fuck's Anne Frank? Well, she's the little girl with the journal. Anyways, for me, the real good cop moment was the way it was shot. When Sammy goes over and he's hugging his wife, and then all of a sudden, he's getting German suplexed. And I was just... And again, I think we all saw the heel turn coming, but I didn't see it coming in that moment because the way they had the camera positioned. So you could only see Sammy hugging his wife and then all of a sudden kind of get jerked back. And then the camera pans out and he's getting German suplex. And I absolutely loved it, especially in Montreal. You want to get heat, you beat the shit out of the hometown boy. And the other side of that, Sammy's entrance, that was, and like, yeah, they've been doing these long form entrances for a couple of weeks now, and that's all well and good, but to have him outside saying the first time I ever saw wrestling was in this building. So I'm going to enter this building as a wrestler the same way I entered as a fan through the front door. I loved that entrance. And then to do, you know, the crowd entrance, and he gets a whole commercial break segment to essentially hang out with the fans and do his thing. It just so well done. I absolutely loved it. I love what they're doing. We've talked about it a bunch of times over the past couple of months, even, you know, what Lee Fittings is doing for their production values. And these long form entrances, I think they're phenomenal, especially because I like behind the scenes stuff. I like seeing how things work, and following someone from a backstage promo all the way through through the arena, then through Gorilla. And then like, I love KO's entrance where they follow him all the way out to the entry ramp. So you get to see behind the LED boards, you get to see everything. And I love that kind of stuff. And I know that I'm sure a lot of like purists are like, that's not for us. You know, I love it. I absolutely love it. This isn't the days of kayfabe are over. We know that Triple H is sitting. What did KO say? He was cutting his promo on his way to do his entrance. And he walks out back, and I think it was Bruce Pritchard. He just goes, "Hey Pritchard, hit my music."
If I may, he said, "Jamie catch this," throws his bottle to Jamie Noble, yeah, and then Bruce hit my music, and then walked out.
And I love that, absolutely love it. But I think Sammy's whole segment and the match was phenomenal. I mean, him and Gable are great together. You know, and it was great that Sammy was paying tribute to a fellow Montreal native, El Generico, throughout the match. It was just absolutely phenomenal. I loved everything about that segment, but mainly the heel turn at the end. It was just great. Just absolutely fantastic.
Graham looks
surprised.
No, I'm saying, talking to you.
I was going to say, I actually had as my speed check that entrance, because I know I mentioned it to you, Ryan. I was like, holy shit, that was amazing. I absolutely loved that part of it. And I did think about, but if I hadn't watched Dark Side and I was still had that empty space, that was definitely going to go in there. But I figured it would be more your cup of tea. I shared one thing with Bishop, and I don't think this is going to mean anything to you, Matt, but I know sometimes I'm wrong on American sports, so you might know. I have had a double take moment. When I saw Sami Zayn's wife, I thought it was Caitlin Clark. I knew obviously it wasn't, because that wouldn't make sense. Ryan, are you familiar with Caitlin Clark?
No.
Oh, jeez. Well, Matt, are you familiar with Caitlin Clark?
The name rings a bell, but that's also...
The number one pick in the WNBA, the women's basketball player in college who's just like red hot right now and is about to sign an 8-figure contract with Nike. I knew clearly it wasn't, but I don't know her well enough to distinguish, but I thought Sami Zayn's wife and Caitlin Clark looked very similar. I sent it to Bishop. I said, this is just for you. This is my terrible wrestling take. Everyone else can tell me how they're not even close to each other.
I've got to admit, my NBA isn't great. Even my WNBA is worse. But the name rang a bell because of, you know, because obviously the amount of sports sites I'm on, it just pops up every now and again. Do you want me to go to speed check, or do you want me to say, God, you looked a little confused, Graham, when he said El Generico?
No, I didn't. Are you fucking kidding me? Graham, you're going to insult the indie guy. All right, nice, nice.
No, you genuinely...
PWG, I believe, was where he used to wrestle out in the indies, right? And in California?
California, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I am...
didn't say you were. I said that you looked confused. But you, no. you had that glassy look on your face, like when I taught D&D.
I think he was appreciating the joke while you're here ruining it.
Apologies. I make a note to not cut that out.
Go ahead, speed tech.
Okay, Ruby Soho's going to be a mommy. It's great news. What do you mean, maybe not, Graham? Come back to me quickly now. Cut in.
Apparently, it could be just a storyline. I don't think that they've actually said... People are confused right now saying, is it definitely happened or is it just a storyline?
Well, I'm hoping it's real. That's okay. Congratulations is what I'm saying for that side of things. For you, Graham, because I know that you're a big fan of parents educating their children... Jimmy Uso, during his match with Jey Uso, actually looks to ringside to his daughter in the front row and tells her to get off her fucking phone.
Yay.
I saw that and I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. Graham's going to eat that with a fork and a spoon. What else have I got down here? Undertaker, his involvement in the main event. Do you know when it was confirmed that he was going to be actually in that match?
No.
Halfway through the show.
Oh, my gosh.
He was in the crowd.
Wow.
It first came about, apparently, the Tuesday. If it's what I can tell, it came about on the Tuesday before. And it came, like, first it was Triple H, then it was Nick Khan, then it was Michael Hayes, then it was Paul Heyman, and then... finally it was all sealed halfway through the show. He got up, went to the back to put everything in place, sort of thing, and he actually did it because that was his final WrestleMania closure, because he's not been at Mania since, apart from before the Hall of Fame, since 36, no crowd. Got to have his love in a moment in front of a crowd and can ride off into the sunset, like a better term now. I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that, obviously. Not sure if that timeline's exactly right, but that's what I've seen this week, and I'm really happy about it. Oh, last thing as well, obviously Chad Gable turning heel. There's been a lot of talk online about Triple H putting a new faction together with him. And the rumour right now is the Creed brothers going heel with him. I'd like it. I think you could turn the whole Alpha Academy heel, to be fair, but I guess worth waiting to see. Anyway, boom.
I had two things. One was a transition. Sami Zayn, we already talked about that. Return of the Most Wanted Treasures on A&E. I love those shows. I thought they were normally just an hour. I don't know if it's just because it was a season opener. It was 2 hours. Ryan, you're going to want to watch this one. The time of it was WCW. Very entertaining. That 2 hours absolutely fucking flew by. I love that show. I love how some of the items, like, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like something minor, and they're going, so what do you think it's worth? And they're going, well, we got like a budget of $8,000. It's like, holy. Yeah, some of the collections people have are just, yeah, it, great show. But that's it. Pretty quick this week.
Right on.
Nice and quick. Dynasty is this weekend, and it looks like a really good card, albeit in typical AEW fashion, a bit bloated. We've got 9 matches on the main card, which is actually shorter for them. I think they're usually around 11 or 12. But there's also 3 matches on the pre-show. So, I mean, you know, they're going to get their time one way or the other. Well, Matt, their pre-show is all wrestling, no talking. So 3 matches in an hour.
What's the point of fucking pre-show?
Sell the main show.
Yeah. And if you're showing good wrestling, people are going to buy the... Anyways. I'm loving the potential with what's going on now, Graham, bear with me, with what's going on with the Bloodline. Tama Tonga did not see that coming. When that person came out, my initial thought was, oh, it's Jay. But then I was like, oh no, it's Jacob. It's the other Uso. And then he pulled off his hood and I was like, wait, it's Tama Tonga. What is happening here? I'm excited. So logically, the belief that it would probably be OG versus new Bloodline kind of thing in the future, I would say Jimmy, Jay, and Jacob versus Roman, Solo, and Tama, I think would be a great way to, because here's the best part. It keeps them far away from any major championships. And I like that part because we don't need if Roman wants to come back for a big, you know, big budget match with his family, go for it. Just stay away from the title. I was even thinking Rock in their corner and Rikishi in the Usos corner, I think would be a lot of fun. You know, I think there's a lot of things they can do with that. I will give AEW credit. They turned it around after one of the most abysmal Dynamites I've ever seen 2 weeks ago. This week's Dynamite was good. Wrestling was good. The main event, I believe it was the main event. If it wasn't, it should have been, was Ospreay versus Claudio, which, I mean, you don't have to say much more about what style of wrestling match that was. It was phenomenal. And I don't think they made a single shot at WWE the entire show. I know. Crazy, right? Dijak and Noam Dar on NXT. Great match. And last but not least, it has been taking the internet by storm lately. SGW, Soft Ground Wrestling, out of Uganda, which is a backyard wrestling organization out of Uganda. They had Mace and Mansoor show up at their show. Interfere to destroy Lord White and end his colonial aspects over the Soft Ground. Their storytelling is better than some actual wrestling because they're using real world situations as storylines. And the fact that they have a character called Lord White, who is a colonizer, is very entertaining to me. Actually, last but not least, the internet has finally discovered Christopher Dijak's resume on YouTube, something I discovered years ago before I interviewed him when I was doing research. He has a video interview from when he was trying to find a job outside of college. And the internet has finally changed. When I found it, it had probably under 100 views. And the last time I checked, it was closing on 2,000 views. So people are now realizing that Dijak was a human being before he was an NXT superstar. So I know this was a very retribution heavy speed check, but.
Any rebuttal, Matt? I don't know if we have time anyway, but.
I agree with everything my good friend has said.
I have something. You mentioned Jacob. I am going to talk about Jacob a little bit later.
And my rebuttal is, Matt, why would Graham eat it with a fork and spoon? You really only need one utensil if you're eating something, either a fork or a spoon.
It's a figure of speech, asshole.
I mean, yeah, we would say fork and knife because, you know, those are things you use in unison with one another.
You say fork and knife, not knife and fork. That sounds really strange.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's the same. It's better than fork and
spoon. When I eat pasta, I use a fork and a spoon.
Yeah, because you're a pretentious douche. That's fine. I shovel it in my mouth like a real man.
After he adds ketchup to it, probably, as well.
Ew.
Even.
With that sort of take, let's go to Bad Cop.
Good! Bad!
Who puts ketchup on their spaghetti?
Regularly. He's using a spork regularly.
See, a spork is fine. It's a single item that serves multiple purposes. But seriously, who's putting ketchup on their spaghetti? That's weird.
A child.
People that don't appreciate Italian food. And that's why I thought that if you're prepared to use a knife and fork for spaghetti, I could. It wasn't that big of a leap to think you'd put
spaghetti. I'm not using a knife. I'm using a fork, and I'm just shoveling it in my mouth. Anyways, I really want some pasta now.
All right, what's your main bad pasta moment then, Matt?
Well, I'm glad you got you fired up here because it's going to stay fired up.
Oh.
Last week, I had a personal bad cop moment. And it was more kayfabe bad cop moment last week when I called out Ethan Lawrence. This week, it's personal. But this ain't kayfabe. I've never actually, since AEW's been going, actually said, you, Tony Khan, I applaud you.
Stop the presses.
Huh? Hold on, this is a bad comment? Okay.
The reason why.
The realization he should have applauded him earlier? Okay, sorry, keep going.
Tony Khan for standing up for somebody. Somebody who had their rights infringed. Somebody who had their rights infringed. The state of fucking Oklahoma.
Ooh, is it somebody who's appearing at VCW in Alexandria tomorrow at the time of recording, perhaps?
I believe so, Graham. I believe so. Yeah. Are you going to be there, Graham?
At front row. If Mikey Tanker and Josh Fuller are defending their tag team championships. Well, yes.
If you happen to be there, Graham, can you tell Nyla Rose from me, thank you for all representation you do for the community?
Text me. I'll be happy to show my phone.
Because Nyla Rose this week was told by the state of Oklahoma she can't wrestle in Oklahoma anymore. Now, having prejudice is one fucking thing. And unfortunately, I've dealt with my fair share of that on the internet and in real life as well. Okay, and believe me when I say this, some people get way more prejudice than I've ever had in my life. I've happily defended people who have been in difficult situations with race, sexual orientation, gender identity, all that stuff. And I'm happy to fight that corner because I know they would fight mine. But I just don't understand this. So I'm hoping that you guys can help me understand this because you guys live in America and you see this in the news more than we do.
Thanks for doxing us. Come on.
Is this the devil's advocate round? You want us to defend Oklahoma?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just want you to help me try and understand what you think they were fucking smoking. Okay, because I actually got a quote here, okay? The quote from their sports commission actually said, there simply should not be a climate in professional... Oh, no, that's Tony Khan. I apologize about that. I'm not going to slag him off for a change. It says, it isn't fair to other competitors and liberals saying it invalidates gender identities when people who identify as women can't compete against women. The problem with this is that they've warned AEW not to do this again, or there'll be punitive action. Now, I'm not sure what punitive action actually means. Can you educate me here, guys, at all?
There'll be some sort of consequence, but it won't be a massive one, but it's just more to be an annoyance kind of thing. That's how I would read it.
Yeah. So, apparently the problem is on her wrestling license, she is unavailable as a woman, because she's a woman.
Correct.
Applications, apparently, in Oklahoma, for boxing, kickboxing, and MMA, all require athletes to indicate whether they've had gender reassignment surgery. But wrestling applications do not. I now continue the quote. They would add the question about the their gender assignment, so this doesn't happen in the future. Because women should face women. Women shouldn't be facing... I hate this. A man. Now, putting a blatant transphobia to one side. Professional wrestling, MMA, kickboxing and boxing are very different things. Professional wrestling is a choreographed, consensual sporting contest. Nyla Rose could face anybody. Anybody. As long as everyone consents to it. If she wanted to, she could go out there and face Samoa Joe. Would they say two words about it? Well, no, they fucking wouldn't, of course. No. But no one would complain about it. Jordan Grace could wrestle against Moose, for example, in TNA. Would they complain about that? I mean, I'd like to fucking see that, personally. Charlotte Flair, in fear, went back from injury, could go and wrestle Roman Reigns. Again, would love to see the groundbreaking thing happen. Think Charlotte gets speared in half. But there are certain things you'd love to see, because it's a choreographed dance, is what professional wrestling is. And I'm very happy to say that. They clearly don't know what the fuck they're actually commissioning here. Anyway, I'm gonna stop talking and let you guys talk.
Yeah, I was going to add to your list. How about, because I was trying to, it seems to be some fantasy booking. How about Masha Slamovic versus Chad Gable?
Yeah.
I mean, the issue is very, very simple. And I can tell you unequivocally why this is happening. It's because they have a Republican governor. They are very right-leaning there, and that's the current argument. You know me, Matt, so don't take this the wrong way, because you're going to understand what I'm trying to say. There is an argument to be made in some competitive sports of someone walks in there and says it's a 6'4" dude who says, oh, I identify as female, so I should get to compete against them instead. There's an argument where if you are not a true transgendered person, there needs to be checks and balances in place, because that's what these people try to do. They try to walk in there and say, oh, well, we can just identify what is whatever we want. Oh, I'm 280. I identify as a featherweight. And that's the kind of crap you hear from these people. But again, like you said, there is very little difference between Nyla Rose as a professional wrestler and Kiefer Sutherland as an actor. They fill a very similar role. It is a fictional, scripted performance. So this should not even be, and I understand it is athletic. It should definitely be governed by an athletics commission, but you need athletics commissions that A, understand that, and B, you know, aren't pulling a J.K. Rowling every time they try to fucking talk about something. For those who are not aware, J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books, is a piece of shit.
Yeah, we actually, when we covered it on Game Junkies, I apologize, Graham, for bringing it up. When we covered that game, we actually had to say we did not associate ourselves with her views.
Yeah, and I
had to do that.
I had to kind of, I've never played it, but I've had to kind of do mental gymnastics because it's really hard in a situation like this. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, where I'm supporting a transphobic piece of shit, or that's a singular individual, or am I supporting the hundreds of developers who put their blood, sweat, and tears into this?
Yeah, the latter.
Just like I will watch a movie that has Kevin Spacey in it. I'm not supporting Kevin Spacey. I'm supporting the hundreds of other people who made that movie happen. Just like I will still support WWE. You know, I mean, it's different now, but I'm not supporting Vince McMahon. I'm supporting the hundreds of men and women and producers and directors and TV crew who put on a wrestling show for me multiple times a week to help me, because that's what it does. That's what professional wrestling does for me. It helps me. It helps me cope. It helps me calm down. It helps me escape. At first, I was really, really worried because I was like, why, oh, why is everyone on the internet so mad at the amazing character that Ed Ferreira played in WCW Oklahoma? Luckily, it was not the great Ed Ferreira. It was a piece of shit. That's my Oklahoma joke for the episode.
Okay, bingo card ticked off. Graham?
I don't need to add anything to that. Like, it's... I'm not. I think you're going to be reading fan cop moments out, but it was clear that it was something that people were united on. That was a pretty common theme under bad cop moments. It's fuck Oklahoma, whatever.
But not Ed Ferreira.
No.
No. Ryan, I'm going to ask you to be respectful if I'm talking to Matt that you do not answer questions. Okay. I will get to you in a second. Okay, Matt. I would like you, if you can remember. When was the last Punjabi prison match?
Battleground 2016.
Oh, I had 2017 written down. Did I write down the wrong date?
Yes.
It was 2017. And who was in that match?
Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton with Great Khali interfering.
Of course. And it was a match that I took the boys to because obviously it's such a rare event. You don't really get to see those very often. The one previous to that was, any ideas?
It was Great Khali vs. Batista at No Mercy 2007.
Correct. And my understanding was, and obviously a very limited understanding because there's not many of these, that Great Khali was kind of like the pivotal figure. That was who you associate with that. Who was in the first Punjabi prison
match? It was advertised as Undertaker vs. Great Khali. But Khali was pulled on the night and Big Show would replace him.
It was Big Show. I did not know that at all. I'd assumed the first one was Great Khali. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God, how did that happen? Yeah, apparently he had elevated levels of enzymes were found in his liver. So he was actually pulled from that match. Now, Ryan, I got two questions for you. I have the same question, first of all. When was the last Punjabi prison match?
Apparently 2017.
Okay. And the second question is, can you explain to us, for people who are not familiar with that, what exactly is a Punjabi prison match? What would it look like if you were in the audience and you were trying to watch it?
Hell in a Cell, but instead of being made out of metal, it's made out of bamboo.
Okay. Matt, anything you could add to that description? Because I think
can't see a fucking thing.
I think it's missing a key element.
You can't see a fucking thing, what it is.
That's true. It was a terrible thing to actually go watch.
Have to watch a Tron because you've got to watch the camera feed. You can't see fuck all. That's one of the biggest problems.
I was hoping you guys might add one more element to how it design looks, because you guys normally the people...
It's got sharp spikes at the top, and it's got...
That's true. Isn't there more than one part to it, though?
In a cage and out of cage.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's like the kennel from Hell match.
But worse somehow.
That was part of it. Okay. Well, actually, and I wasn't sure. I didn't want Ryan interrupting because sometimes he's Mr. Know-it-all on things like this. Actually, no, the last Punjabi prison match was not 2017. I didn't say WWE, of course. So last week I talked about having I really enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. I said, but I'm done. I'm not going to watch anything else. I decided to watch a little bit more on Triller TV. There was the first ever independent Punjabi prison match. It was at GCW Clusterfuck Forever. For some reason, the hashtag was JJSB8 Night 2. So I'm not sure why it was Joey Janela's. So I don't, anyway, I didn't like that part to begin with. It had the Bollywood Boys. It had Violence is Forever. It was Juicy Finau, and it was supposed to be Jacob Fatu. But it was not. He got pulled at the last minute. So Ryan, yes, I kind of thought that Jacob Fatu might have been the person who was going to appear in the Bloodline. I think we know for sure he signed with WWE, right? I've heard rumors.
I don't think I've seen anything concrete.
Okay. So the fact he got pulled from that match was definitely kind of stoking the fire a little bit with that. Got replaced by another member of the family. I didn't write down who it was. I couldn't remember. And anyway, quote, this is from the OG Boozerweight at the King Suplex 93. Bro, that's not a Punjabi prison match. What the fuck is that? The Punjabi prison concept is multiple cages in the surrounding. That's just one makeshift shenanigan that's probably going to fall apart as soon as someone steps on it. Come on, GCW. And as I was looking, I actually saw friend of the show, Dan Griffin. I don't even know where to start with that opener. It was a four-team indie Punjabi prison match. It was ridiculous chaos and somehow isn't the most ridiculous thing on the show. It did not look like a very good, it did not look like a Punjabi prison match. I could see why they called it that. It had spikes on the top, like Matt talked about, but it definitely wasn't a Punjabi prison. I had to skip 16 minutes of dead time just to get to this match. This was the opening match. Like, it wasn't like it was a countdown or anything. It was just like a blank screen. If you're fucking editing this to put it on Triller, could you edit out that crap? Like, I had to press fast forward. I can fast forward 10 seconds at a time, I think it is. So I had to press it. I'll help you with the math here, Matt. 96 times to get to the start. Ridiculous. No reason for putting that out on Triller TV at all. You can watch the replay, it says, on the collective on Fight TV for $7.99 a month. I got to admit, I was very excited when I saw a Punjabi prison match because I know that they're very unique events. To see one on the indies, Matt, you talked about the ladder match, how excited you are for that. Could you imagine going to an indie match to see a Punjabi prison match? Like, holy shit, this is amazing. It disappointed, I got to be honest. It did not live up to the hype that I thought it was going to be when it was on there. A little disappointed. That's my main backdrop.
It's on YouTube for free.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Well, all the action is all 90 seconds of it.
I just
watched the action, 90 seconds of it.
Okay. It's not a proper Punjab.
It's been up there for about 6-7 hours. The comments, by the way, are brutal. How the fuck did you guys build that? Looks like gaffer tape and sticks. You couldn't shield for a Great Khali cameo. And I thought the three that you had were bad. This is horrendous. This is the worst thing you've ever fucking done. And Vader ruined his match. The commentator.
Okay, so I was right.
Oh, this one's fucking brutal. Meltzer would have done a better job on commentary. Wow!
Oh, if that's only been up 6 or 7 hours, perhaps I might revisit that next week then for my bad speed check, possibly.
Sorry, I think I might have drunk too much. 20 hours, sorry, my apologies.
Okay, but it's less than a day.
723 views, well, 724 views now, but not good.
So, the reason that was Joey Janela's Spring Break Night 2 is because the clusterfuck is usually part of Joey Janela's Spring Break.
Oh. Okay.
So this wasn't just the clusterfuck, this was the greatest clusterfuck.
Oh, that part I missed, unfortunately. Yes. I was worried that Ryan had seen that and was going to talk
about it. I haven't yet. Now, but I always look forward to the clusterfuck. A number of years ago, probably like 2 or 3 years ago, during the clusterfuck, you remember these guys were big on Twitter for a while. The guys who would do wrestling matches in Walmart. They were surprise entrants into the clusterfuck, and they just took these obscene because they're not wrestlers. I think that superhuman kid was an entrant into the clusterfuck. It's literally a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, what's your main bad cop moment?
I'm rehashing something from last week or the week before. I can't keep track. Wrestling moves so fast. Tony Khan, trying to save face, doubled down on the CM Punk footage during the pre-dynasty or dynasty, depending on how you talk, a media call where he's, when people asked if he considered it a mistake or a bad decision, he said, look at the ratings. Because he considers the fact that they had a spike in ratings for this segment, that it was a successful segment, even though it was overly negatively received by the fans entirely. It united the tribal, the tribes on Twitter saying, why would you do that? What is your problem? And he said, oh, well, look, we had a great rating spike, even though the ratings went back down to their normal ratings the week after. You didn't bring in any new fans. And if you did, they didn't stick around. And that's not good. And the fact that he's so stubborn about this, especially after what was a good Dynamite this week, and is looking to be potentially one of their best cards in a long, long time for Dynasty on Sunday. Why double down on the CM Punk crap again? He doesn't work there anymore. Move on. Move on. And I know he was asked about it, but honestly, show some class. Just say, hey, look, you know what? Sometimes you try things, they don't work out. Moving on. Next question. Just don't double down on this crap. It's not worth it. And it just bugged me. It bugged me as to why he's still talking about it and why we still have to keep talking about it. In the same media call, he brought up the statistic that bookers typically have a 5-year run. And a lot of times on the not the indies, in the territory days, bookers would work for 6 months and then take 6 months off and let someone else book. And that allows them to recharge their creative juices. He has said that he has no intent to give up the booking reins to anyone else, which I think is very short-sighted, because even WWE cycles out writers. WCW cycled many bookers in the Nitro era, sometimes for the best, sometimes for the worst. You know, Kevin Sullivan, hit or miss. Obviously Nash and Hogan, some of it was great. You know, the NWO stuff was really great, but then they burned it into the ground. You know, you have to give, you know, Russo credit. His initial run wasn't good, but his second run with WCW was much better, but it was just too little too late. Tony Khan needs to start listening to other people. That's it. He needs to accept he's turning into Vince McMahon, and that scares me for AEW. That's what I got.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, first things first, to continue my theme so far, bad cop, Ken Shamrock calling basically homophobic message on Twitter saying, are you his boyfriend, about someone who, with Lou Nixon. Lou Nixon retaliated by saying, I'll fight you any day of the week. Paris has said, bring him to Essex, I'll book it. So I'll be all about that for sure. A few other little bits and pieces. One of which is Baron Corbin on Cameo. Quote his thing, book me for a limited time. I'm only going to be doing 20 cameos. This was WrestleMania last year. There's still two available. I'm not kidding. No one's been booking Baron Corbin, which is extremely funny. In a way, he doesn't really need the money. It was WWE, so it's fine. I think my only other real main bad cop moment of the week, and I'm about to get shouted down here, no doubt, with the STFU card, is Jey Uso into the entrance into Sami Zayn. Big bad cop moment. But not for the reason you're thinking. Live, we got that here. Replays, they cut the whole of Jay's part out. TNT, go fuck yourselves.
Pretty short and sweet for me. I actually went back because I was short of moments. I went back to some of my bookmarks to see what I'd bookmarked that I could still use. I'd forgotten some of these. March 12th, Bryan Danielson on his wrestling retirement. This is via SXSW. I don't use the R word. First of all, when I saw that, I was like, I would fucking hope not. But then I realized what he was talking about. I already had to do that once, and I don't want to do it again. I want to leave it open to be able to wrestle when I'm 75 if I so choose. I don't know. I think, isn't Ric Flair 75 years old? 75 might be a little bit high of a number on that. Perhaps he has the same math skills as Matt does. I don't know. If he would have said 60 or 65, I would have been a little bit okay. Bryan Danielson, please do not wrestle at 75. We don't need you to do that. You should be enjoying your grandkids at that time or the later years of your life. I'm hoping that no wrestler feels that they need to wrestle at 75. I know the fans really are not getting anything out of that. That's it.
Righto.
I'm definitely setting the timer for this guy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, Terry Funk was still going and he was going good. But anyways, moving on. I'm a little disappointed that Monday Night Raw has been dropping the ball with women's booking, especially considering SmackDown and NXT have been doing such a phenomenal job with it. It's your flagship show. Like, give the women some time, not just backstage segments. Clearly, you know, to stick with the women, Rhea having to drop her title due to injury. That sucks. She had, you know, it sucks. Nia Jax being one of the front runners to be the new women's champion, world champion. No bueno. Finally, they're redoing all of the championship belts. They're finally getting to the tag titles. I really wish they would do the same thing for NXT. All of the branding is still NXT 2.0, and they're all those really, really terrible Velcro strap belts. So when they take off the belt, you hear a big rip sound every time, and I hate it.
Rebuttal, Matt?
Yes. First point is, I really hope that Ryan's absolutely right there, and the NXT ones are next to follow. Usually, it becomes uniform across the company. So fingers crossed that does happen on that side of things. There was a point I wanted to make about something you said, Graham. Remind me what it was. You said you'll speak.
Danielson. Bryan Danielson.
The difference between Ric Flair and Daniel Bryan is Bryan Danielson isn't drinking and having fucking every woman he finds and taking a lot of drugs. He keeps them quite clean and in good shape. If Bryan Danielson is in a similar sort of shape at that age, let him wrestle, Graham, is what I say. If he's able to go, then he'll be fine, sort of thing. He's probably in better shape now at 75 than Ric fucking Flair is right now. That's my personal point of view on that side of things. And I just look forward to seeing what the SmackDown belts are, and Graham not being able to tell which one's which as usual, because he doesn't pay any attention to any of the belts at any point anyway. We need to back up on him, because those new tag belts are fucking beautiful.
I should use my shut the fuck up card after all. The guy who was all pissed that Sting's wrestling in his early 60s, but he's okay with Bryan Danielson wrestling at 70. Okay, Matt. Fucking hypocrite. All right, go ahead, Ryan. Anything you want to add?
There's no reason. There are so many talented people in the business right now. There's no reason for people to be wrestling in their 70s. 60s is one thing, especially if you're kind of like finishing up or you're just returning for a one-off or something like that, you know. Great. Like, obviously 50s is the new 40s. Because we've got Dustin Rhodes, we've got R-Truth. You know, there's a lot of guys who are still going really, really solid in their 50s. And especially it's a new era. You know, people can take time off. They don't have to work themselves to death. You know, that's I think that's my only buttle.
Okay.
If I can retaliate quite really quickly, I'm referring to a one-off, not referring to like regular appearances at 75.
Okay. So tempted to pull my shut the fuck up card up right
You
now.
Could have, but you didn't.
Anyway, just to piss him off again.
That's defending myself, that's all.
I gotta leave in the next 5 minutes. I do have a devil's advocate for both of you, though, which I could do before I leave if you would like.
Can do. I wasn't prepared for it because you said no time for DA today. So, okay.
I didn't say that. Right?
No, that's what I said.
All right. No, I told you. I said I saw this online and I was like, it was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. So I got your DA sword for you, Matt. I'm not sure Ryan will understand this one. So anyway, this was from at Victor IIIIIO, I think it is. All right. He's requesting for a petition for Cornetto to remove the shitty block of chocolate at the bottom. Who's with me? All right, I'd like you to be with him and defend that they should remove the shitty block of chocolate from the bottom of a Cornetto. Go.
If you get an ice cream, Graham, you want ice cream. You're not buying it for chocolate. If you want chocolate, follow Mag's approach and go and avoid the bubbly chocolate, okay? If you buy an ice cream cone, you want the ice cream to go right to the bottom. Get rid of the chocolate, get rid of everything. You just want pure vanilla ice cream.
Perfect on time.
Okay, so
it's a totally ridiculous viewpoint, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It is. The bottom's the best part. We may not have Cornetto, but I know exactly what it is. You know, and in America, we have, you know, drumsticks.
Oh, of course, yes.
And that chocolate bit at the end, that's like the best part.
I couldn't believe when I saw that.
There's a Ben and Jerry's ice cream where the mix-in is those little end pieces.
Yes, it is.
So it's the end of the cone with chocolate in it. And there's a Ben and Jerry's Americone Dream.
Americone Dream, yes.
Yeah.
I have not heard of that.
I think the flavor was created by Stephen Colbert.
Oh, I don't care how much that is. I'm going to the
big fan of Stephen Colbert, yeah.
So all right, got it. All right. Before I give Ryan's DA, Matt, I didn't bother looking it up. I want to say, you're going to correct. All right. Does Stone Cold Steve Austin have 2 Royal Rumble wins?
3.
Ah, God, I was going to go. Is that the most?
Yes.
All right. All right, Ryan. This goes back a long way. Oh, my gosh. I think that this was from January 6th, I saved this on Facebook and forgot to get back to it. All right, your devil's advocate for me is, with the new era in WWE, it is time to go back and award retroactively the winner of the most Royal Rumbles to Zach Gowan because he didn't have both feet touch the floor to be eliminated.
I mean, absolutely. The rules clearly state that both feet have to touch the floor. It doesn't say there's an alternative set of rules for people who only have 1 foot. And while we're at it, Curtis Axel, never been eliminated. So, I mean, there are a lot of people who deserve this recognition.
What? By that token, you could have Scotty Too Hot E in 2002. You could have, despite the 2004, same analogy on that one, Ryan. Graham, point of order, not because of you. Your DA was perfect, but... Mm-hmm. Could you quote where you got that bookmark from for me quickly? Who actually posted that up there?
Yes. It was, I saw it on Wrestling Alliance on January 6th.
Yeah. January 6th, not a great day for America in general. But the fact of the matter is, if a guy done any research, Zach Gowan was never in any Royal Rumble.
Oh, he wasn't?
Never.
Oh, I did not look that up at all.
No, let's ignore the fact that John Laurinaitis, prick that he is, actually hired the wrong one-legged wrestler as well. Fired a guy and hired Zach Gowan.
Now, I might have twisted the words a little bit, but they did say that Zach Gowan should have won the Royal Rumble because he didn't have... Okay, so that person got it slightly wrong. I did not check it up.
Thank you for... Matt, you're a brilliant fact checker. I have to leave. Mate, Jackson has baseball practice.
Yep, I gotta go.
It's okay, boys.
We can wrap up and close the episode
out. We'll see them guys next week. Join me in a moment, guys, for fan cut moments.
Bye.
Bye.
Good. Bad.
Yeah, guys, just me now. So it's time for the fan cut moments. Thank you again, as always, for getting in touch. Let's go through and see who's been chatting this week. There may be a spoiler we mentioned earlier. Some of the fan cop may have had a similar opinion to my bad cop. We'll see how many of them have that opinion. We'll start with the sexual gladiator is Dan Griffin. Ryan's world is not mine. Good cop moment is Tina Rebellion this weekend. And just look at that card below. He's listed Eric Young versus Frankie Kazarian, a Metal Mayhem match. Joe Hendry versus Rich Swann. Mustafa Ali versus Jake something for the TNA X Division Championship. The System versus Speedball Mountain for the tag team titles. Jordan Grace versus Steph DeLander for the Knockouts World title. Josh Alexander versus Hammerstone in the Last Man Standing. And Moose versus Nick Nemeth in the single match for a TNA World title. That's going to be brilliant, for sure. Bad cop moment, whichever state it was that was transphobic, C word. To Nyla Rose, can't remember which one, not worth giving me attention, fuck them. And as we point out, it was in Oklahoma. Sort yourself out, Oklahoma, seriously. Going to BFR JCB, the People's Champ. Good moment, Windy City Riot with some of my favorite wrestling guys and overall good people. Bad moment, Moxley winning the IWGP title. New Japan Pro Wrestling feels desperate for exposure. Putting their titles on non-contracted talent makes no sense, regardless of who it is. We do like Mox, but the fact of the matter is that he's not a New Japan guy. So I do understand the frustrations there, JCB. Do understand it, absolutely. UGC Rob, cook up moment. Lee Town Hall making an exhibition for Bill Riley, Wigan Snake Pit. WTF cut moment, Meltzer claiming that WCW's Zane Breslov called him every commercial break of Monday Night War. Conservatively, that'd be 638 calls. Rob, you took time to work that out. Impressive, sir. Cut moment, Oklahoma. Seems to be a running theme here, unfortunately. High five, Tom. Welcome back, sir. Grateful cut moment, getting to hang out with the four pillars, Brett, JCB, Azar, at Windy City Riot. I am dumb cop moment. We didn't get enough picks together. It happens, bud. Been there. It happens all the time. Mark the F out moment. At Real Jeff Cobb showing up serendipitously at Windy City Riot on the same day we met him 6 years ago. Really cool moment, mate, for sure. Very happy that you got that moment with Jeff Cobb. Eric at E. Freed's. Fan cut moment, planning to go to the gym today, fourth time on Sunday. Good on you, mate. Really good on you. Bad cut moment, fell asleep during wrestling and hockey watching this week. It happens. Don't hate yourself too much for that, bud. You know, you work hard, you play hard. It's all good. SJ, our former guest, Carnival Chaos. Bad cut moment, Oklahoma being assholes and not letting Nyla wrestle. I think most people agree on that side of things. Good cut moment, Ruby Soho is going to be a mummy, and I love that so much. Again, not sure if it's kayfabe or not. I fairly don't think it is, so that's great news. And Cherry Jerry, at heel Cherry Jerry. Best cut moment, Roman Reigns is filming a movie and still has creative influence regarding the bloodline. Roman Reigns is absolutely fine and healthy. Yes, mentioned that, of course, in press conference last week, that after WrestleMania, that he is. He's taking medication to keep the leukemia in check. And that's great news. May that continue. Worst cop moment, Rhea Ripley. Yeah, getting injured like that. No way you want to lose your championship. But you bet, but she's going to back that roof is going to blow off that arena, for sure. And the fan cop moment, I'm so happy with my vintage red flannel. And that is him sharing his link to his channel. Go check him out over at hashtag THUH Cherry Show. The search for Red Flannel at Ever Grotesco. Worth checking out, guys. Cherry Jerry is a great, great guy. That's it, I think, this week for the fan cop moments. So, unless I missed one, in that case, I do apologize if I have. We will be back next week with the full team, hopefully. On behalf of us all, hook, go, grab up. Take care of yourselves. We love you. And yeah, we're out of here. Boom.
Music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/